Views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Life Off the Record with Trivago Lang is brought to you by Bahamas First General Insurance Company, Burger King, Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store, Commonwealth Bank, the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, Prince Masters, the Progressive Liberal Party, RF Bank and Trust, Ron's Electric Motors, Southwest Plaza, Star General, Insurance Made Simple, and Wendy's.
The new and bold Barbecue Crispy King at Burger King. Two 100% flame grilled patties stacked with that irresistible onion crunch you love, smoky barbecue sauce, crisp bacon, and melted cheddar, all on a buttery brioche bun. Mmm. Crunch, bacon, cheese, flame grill flavor. Swing by any of Burger King's 6 Nassau locations and taste the new Barbecue Crispy King today. Burger King Nassau, where taste is on fire.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Trivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this Monday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can call us from the family of islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas Channel 969. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I said that our event on Friday Night Gone, Fire T, would be epic. Epic. And ladies and gentlemen, it was epic. It was fantastic. It was awesome. I cannot recall in the last 20, 30 years of my life one occasion on which I continuously, from start to finish, thoroughly enjoyed myself, watched others thoroughly enjoy themselves, as I did and I observed on Friday night gone past at the Sunset Bar and Grill facility where we held our Far Back Friday event from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Listen to me. That beautiful, awesome, civil, mature, fun audience of people of all ages, young, not so young, old, I mean, had a ball. Just a ball. They could call you and tell you. Just a ball. Just really enjoying the company, the dance, the music from way back when, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. When you see people in their 80s and 70s hanging around till the end of an event, when you see them on the floor, you listen, you see, you remember now, Sister Sheila Culmer called in, say she was coming, she want to hear some of the old and golden oldies, and she tell me she was going to dance with me. Listen to me, Sister Sheila Culmer did not disappoint. The last dance on that floor was Sister Sheila Culmer. Guess what she did? She was doing the, what you call it now? Grace, what you call the dance now? Anyway, somebody go remind me. The song Dance Stand By Me? The Hully Gully. I have it on video. Oh, man. I tell some of them people I can call and talk their business. Man, the president of the teachers union and her husband were there, and oh, man, they were dressed to the T, and they were... Sister Belinda Wilson was leading and carrying on that bad that night. We had the Kwanzaa dance. Sterling Kwanzaa celebrated his birthday with us that night. They were carrying on, him and his wife. Oh, man. That DJ. Oh, the DJ. I tell him he's an old soul. Caught in a young body. He carry on. We had a dancer there, a saucy, they call him. He carry on. Oh, man. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all miss it. Y'all miss it. I ain't trying to. Y'all miss an event. Next time, though, for all of those who came out, thank you. You made it special. Oh, you made it special. Sunset Bar and Grill made it special, man. We had a DW Events and Deandra Munnings all made it special, man. People came out. We had the leader of the opposition and some of his team, Darren Henfield and Jamal Moss and others, came out and made an appearance and stayed and hung out. And man, let me tell you all something. I could not myself have imagined it would have turned out as wonderfully as it did. But it was a marvelous event. People tell me, say, listen, man, you can't start and stop now. You got to keep it going. We will. We'll have another event. We will. We should. We can. It was beautiful. It was awesome. It was wonderful, 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 wonderful. We had a great time. We had a great time. We had a great time. Anyway, thank you to the Guardian, the team, April Moss and Janet Leeds and all the folks, Dwight Strawn and everybody who made it happen. It was great. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. Really, 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 really grateful for the event. Anyway, so now I listened to the chief passport officer on Morning Blend this morning. I caught most of his talk, not all, but most. important parts of it, actually. Mr. Nicholas Simonet, chief passport officer. He is articulate. He is knowledgeable. He gave nominations for some things, etc. And I thought and think that more occasions with someone like him sharing information could be helpful. But I have some questions and I had some exceptions to some of the things he said. I did, and I do. And I shall talk about those. Because notwithstanding his knowledge of his particular field, I think that he missed some things in respect of the way he represented his position and his responsibilities. And so I want to talk about some of that today. Also want to provide some historical context to some of what we understand and we know about passport handling in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas over the years. This is an important matter. It can't be dealt with flippantly. It can't be dealt with by ignoring either the politics or the policy of the matter. I truly appreciated the conversation that was had this morning. I have to say, if more leaders, bureaucratic leaders, technical leaders of their organizations could represent their thoughts as well as Mr. Simonet represented his thoughts, even if I agreed with some of those thoughts, disagreed with some of those thoughts, I think that would do well for the society in terms of maybe appreciating the work effort and the protocols these folks have to pursue as they do their jobs. But I have to highlight, he may be listening. I hope he is listening. And if he's not, maybe if you're listening and you could get him to listen, you can get him to listen, because then he could call in. And if he objects to, if he was just to clarify, I could happily get that done too. But I did have some exceptions to some of the things he said. And when I come back from the break, I will venture into some of those things. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody.
Boost your buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Team Bahamas goes on the hunt for Charifta Gold once again. Join Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9 for daily live updates on the Charifta Martinique and the Charifta Track and Field Championships in St. George's Grenada throughout the Easter holiday weekend. Charifta Gold, the Easter showdown. Team Bahamas going for an 8th consecutive swimming title, and the track and field team looking to overthrow longtime champions Jamaica. Don't miss our live coverage every day of the 53rd Charifta Games on Star 106.5 and Guardian Radio 96.9. Charifta Gold, the hunt is on.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is definitely the time for BAMSI to continue to build on the progress that we've made. There's now drone technology. There's now year-round container farming. You have hydroponics. You have aquaponics. You have precision farming. There have been record numbers of enrollments, record numbers of flat fishing certifications. We've had record enrollments in our online courses. Students from across the family of islands. Because in BAMSI, we are not just cultivating produce. We're cultivating producers.
Paid for by the PLP.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, as I indicated, please feel free to call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. As I indicated, I did listen to the interview that Dwight conducted with Mr. Simonette, Nicholas Simonette, the officer, on Morning Blend this morning. And as I indicated, I thought he was articulate. Gave, in many instances, I thought thoughtful responses to questions, and represented himself and his department reasonably well. However, I did have some exception to some things he said. So in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, passports are issued under the law by the minister responsible for passports. In our instance, that would be the minister. And that minister does that work of issuing passports through the passport office, and through the head of the passport office being the chief passport officer. No one, as far as I'm aware, on an ordinary basis, collects a passport from a minister. You collect your passport from the passport office. And as far as I'm aware, for all the time that I've been in government, no minister has been down at the passport office issuing passports, preparing passports. Passports are issued at the passport office, ultimately by the chief passport officer, signed off by the chief passport officer. The preparation done for those passports, even to the extent of receiving applications, looking on the files, overlooking documentation, the processing of those passports once the documentation has been verified, etc., all happen under the administration of the chief passport officer. Your job, his job, is to ensure that that administration is compliant with the law and as efficient and as effective as needs be. That is his job. So when I heard him indicating that, well, I don't prepare documents. What do you mean you don't prepare documents? You do prepare the documents. They go out there in your name. You have to sign off on them before they go out. The people who do their work below him, they're not producing the documents. They are doing levels of administration in the process of the production of a passport to be signed off by the chief passport officer. No minister's name appears on no passport. Let me get my passport and let me see if the minister name on the passport. I don't think so. Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It belongs to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, by the way. Right, and it says issue two and gives me my passport number. And let me tell you what is on my passport. This says a signature is here and it says for minister, not by minister, for minister. And whose signature that is? It ought to be the chief passport officer or somebody assigned by the chief passport officer, but it's not the minister. The minister's signature is nowhere in this passport. It's always, and this is the word I'm reading, for minister. So no chief passport officer is able to get away with excusing or himself or herself from the ultimate execution of a passport document. That's not possible. A minister cannot ultimately blame a civil servant for anything unless that civil servant is found culpable and the minister holds them doing something untoward. But if the minister does not, the minister ultimately is responsible for what happens in his or her ministry. And no chief passport officer can dismiss himself or herself from the execution of any document, from any process that goes awry. Because if you salute your staff for doing good work, then the bad work is done. And if you salute yourself and your staff for doing good work, and if bad work is done, you guys salute you. We give credit when success happens to our staff, and we take the blame when success does not happen. That's the first thing that I found. I took exception to in the way Mr. Simonet framed his discussion with Dwight this morning. Secondly, Mr. Simonet continued to say, it's not about blaming anyone, and I don't want to blame my predecessors or so forth and so forth. Well, here's the reality, right? If something goes wrong and you're the head of a department, in most instances, strong and good and effective leadership and management says, you take the blame. You take the blame. If it happened under a predecessor, well, they would take the blame. That didn't mean that they were the actual ones who did the wrong. But this is what is standard. I have had my own self occasions to say to staff when things went wrong, and I know what happened. I said, listen, we messed up. That's what I said. I said, we messed up. We messed up. That's on me, because I'm responsible for ensuring that things go right. So we messed up, okay? I know Hubert Ingraham has, when he was Prime Minister of the Bahamas, after he was Prime Minister of the Bahamas, he said, you know what, that was on me. You know, I regret it. I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Because that's what leadership does. So sometimes the blame is us. And just like, and now mind you, he as Chief Passport Officer, he doesn't need to and don't want to, and he shouldn't get caught up in the politics of the matter. But if the PLP blames the FNM and the FNM blames the PLP, well, that's fair enough. You lead in the thing. When things go right, you say, look at what we did. When things go wrong, well, there you go. Right? So this notion that I don't want to blame, don't blame them, you know, in the course of evaluating what happened to things, sometimes we are to blame. Sometimes others are to blame. That's what's wrong with that. I mean, since when we get so sensitive in this life that I can't take the blame for things that have happened, well, what does that mean? Nobody's perfect. So that's another thing. The other thing is, Mr. Simonet said that, well, what is happening now is being picked up because we are now doing the kind of scrutiny that allows it to be picked up. What happened before? What you should ask is, what happened before? And Mr. Simonet may not know that in 1993, not only were incidences involving fraud and bribery picked up in the passport office, three persons were prosecuted and convicted for that. They were prosecuted for soliciting a bribe, accepting a bribe, and they were convicted for that. And this was picked up in 1993 when the matter went before the courts, and the process 2008 following an appeal on which the conviction was upheld, they were prosecuted and and jail sentences were issued for that same thing. So ain't nothing, no, in the way of detecting and picking up fraudulent misconduct and that kind of thing in respect of, in this instance, the passport, so nothing new as to being picked up. Now, what I did find interesting was Mr. Simonet talked about the 98 or so hundred passports where matters have been to the police, and then ultimately, I suppose, some of them will go before the court. He noted that this was being done because the process is working, etc. He then talked about half of those being renewals of the procedures following upon something that was done by the Minister administration. He didn't expressly say the Minister administration, but this is what the Prime Minister indicated, and he was alluding to the same. Now, let me ask you a question. If you have 100 matters, and half are renewal and half are not renewal, how do you emphasize? How do you emphasize the half that was renewed? What was the situation with the other half? Why is the relaxation of the renewals the emphasis when the other half was for some other reason, which no one has yet given? As far as I'm aware, half were renewals, but the other half were not. That is not data that could conclusively lead you to suggest that it was a renewal process, a relaxation of a renewal process that caused you a problem, because you haven't told me what caused the other half of the problem. And what I would like to know, if it were me and I had the opportunity, I would like to know, when were these passports issued that were being now subject to fraudulent claims? When were they issued? Were they issued prior to 2007 when the first e-passports were issued? Were they issued after that? Were they issued under his tenure, Mr. Simonet, or under somebody else's tenure? When were they? Because that matters. That matters, because if you say to me that these passports were issued since a renewal process was relaxed, then I could say, okay, well, they were issued since a renewal process. But if they weren't, then how does the renewal process come up? And since when in the world has a renewal relaxed as compared to the initial issuance process, application process? Since when? Well, who doesn't have a more relaxed renewal process than the initial application process, which tends to have greater stringent, more rigid procedures compared to a renewal? Who doesn't do that? I don't know not many places that don't do that. I know most places do that. Do you know in the United States of America, most Americans could go right to the post office and get a passport in one day? One day. Passport, American passport. Right? I don't understand the conclusion that some renewal process relaxation actually caused this. Mr. Simonet also said that when the e-passport process was initiated, there were some files that were not uploaded to the system. He said that. So that some passport applications are subject to a process that doesn't involve going through the e-platform. Well, who is that on? Because as far as I'm aware, the e-passport was implemented by an administration, the Christie administration. And if you're supposed to be doing something, it's supposed to be E, then, and it wasn't, then what? So I do not accept yet, do not follow this renewal process having undermined the process argument by anyone. I do not accept it. I do not understand it. I do not follow it. Even when Dwight tried to follow up on that to Mr. Simonet, he was still unclear. He reverted back to, it's not about casting blame and don't. No, that's not the point. The point is, the question was, how did the renewal relaxation injure the process of making more credible a renewal of a passport? Give me an answer to that question. I don't get it. Because if I'm renewing something that was given to me following a rigid process in order to get a biometric inclusion on the passport document, how do you now tell me I am doing something about the renewal of that same biometrically included document to undermine the process of creating fraud? I'm sorry, I couldn't follow that argument. I could not. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, back after this break.
And they're everything you've been craving.
Crispy, juicy,
and seasoned just right.
These tenders bring the flavor from the very first bite.
Dip them,
dunk them,
love them.
With sauces like sweet chili,
scorching hot,
ranch,
honey barbecue,
honey mustard,
and Wendy's signature sauce.
Grab them as a kid's meal.
Enjoy them on their own.
Or make it a combo
that hits the spot
every time.
For tenders you're gonna know by name,
it's gotta be Wendy's.
Southwest Plaza has so many stores, I've been trying to find a sensible way to list them all. There's CBS Bahamas, the Ashai Institute, BENC Snack World, Bamboo Shack Bahamas Air, the Athlete's Foot, and BTC Games and More, John Bullfine Threads Alive, Bahari, Dairy Queen, 700 Wines and Spirits, Sandy's, Clarkson Island Luck, Starbucks and Lowe's Pharmacy, plus Marco's Pizza and Lorraine. Southwest Plaza, what a wide array of stores. Southwest Plaza, stop by today and explore.
At Star General, you can go gold. Comprehensive car insurance covers loss or damage from accidents, fire, theft, and third-party liability. But the Gold Package gives you increased coverage for rental car and windscreen, personal accident, medical benefits, deductible waiver, and 24-hour roadside assistance where available. Our Star General Gold Package also gives you up to $2,500 for accidental damage to a rental car anywhere in the Bahamas. Go gold. Made simple.
Put more money back in your pocket with a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a passport. Right? In order to have gotten that passport, I got a passport when I was a child. Can I tell you something? This would happen to me when I was a child. So when I was about 8 or so, my father suffered a stroke. And so it debilitated him. And so my father was unable, at the time my mother applied for a passport for us, he was unable to sign for us. And so I literally had to take on my mother's name, Shivago Seymour, because she then did the signing, right? And so when I was going off to university, I had to have a deed poll done to change my name because all my transcripts and all those were in my my father's surname. And so so did that advertising you see people do in the papers. I had to do all of that so I could legally change my name and then have my line name applied as an adult to my passport. But I had to produce all the documentation necessary. Now, bear in mind that this is not the e-passport era. This is not the biometric era. But I had to do all these things according to law to get this done, to have me issued a passport. Right? We started issuing e-passports in 2007. So unless you have not applied for a passport since 2007, every passport issued since 2007, December, has been an e-passport, a biometric included, inclusive passport. What I have not been able to ascertain from anyone, not comment the Prime Minister made, not any comment the Minister of Foreign Affairs made, responsible for passports, not any comment the Chief Passport made is, I may have missed it, but I don't, what is the nature of the fraud? What is the nature of the fraud? So does someone have an issued passport from the passport office with biometrics on it? Are these passports that are being scrutinized, passport issued since the e-passports were issued, and do they have biometric? Do they have all this fancy documentation and stuff I see on my passport? Do they have all of that on there? So, because if they did, that book was produced in the passport office. I remember when we were having some delays in passport issuance and those long lines down the road there, I was asked to go to the passport office to try and see if I could assess what was going on. One of the things we just seen. One machine available to print the passport. So to get a passport, what is the situation today? Is there one machine, two machines? You cannot easily print these passports anywhere outside the passport office. Nowhere. That's why even our consulate offices have to wait until a passport is manufactured in the Bahamas and sent to the consulate office for people who apply for passports down there. So you can easily produce this book. So my assumption is that the fraud is prior to the book. And so something happened fraudulently to have a book prepared maybe for an ineligible person. And I think I heard the chief passport officer alluding to something like that. But what could that something be? He talked about documentation that people could present, maybe erroneously or misinterpreted by people and all that kind of stuff. Well, if it's misinterpreted and if it's a matter of error, why are we calling it fraud? Fraud has a legal term, right? Maybe an errant passport. Maybe you issued an errant passport, maybe meaning you issued a passport you should not have issued. But fraud is when somebody deliberately and intentionally seeks to mislead an official in regard to something that they represent as true and authentic. That's fraud. That's prosecutable. Right? If I take you a document and it doesn't accurately reflect something, but I wasn't trying to fraud you. I got it from my mommy who got it from the pastor and so forth and so forth. Am I trying to defraud you? Not unless you could prove I intended to do so, mislead you. No. What I don't know is what is exactly the nature of these problematic passports. So here's one of the things that also bothered me with what the chief passport officer said. He said, it isn't our job, my job. Every time we pick up something to go and say, oh, we find another one. No, that's not your job. But I could tell you what your boss's job is, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. The Minister of Foreign Affairs' job is to keep the public aware of things that are happening that are public business. And issues, whether those are errant or fraudulent, with respect to a document as important as the passport, is public business. It's not private business. It's public business. So a minister coming and saying, you know, we have in recent times found instances where a number of documents being presented to the passport office are errantly reflecting the status of someone. And we've also discovered that our officers may not be picking some of these up. And so therefore we are altering the process in this way to ensure that that does not happen, or that we can reduce to an irreducible minimum the number of occasions on which that happened. That is called transparency and accountability. And that is the job of both the minister and the chief passport officer. So his job is to brief the minister and say X, Y, and Z is being found. We think that this is a necessary adjustment to minimize the occasions on which this happened. So for, and the public should be made aware. See, because as you make the public aware of these things, they have less occasion for things to be seeping out, people to be calling a politician and telling them, child, let me tell you something, what they happening down the road there. And then the politician gets out and talks about it. And now you mad at the politician because he is doing his job, which is keeping the public aware of things he's discovering. You mad because you say it's irresponsible, you should take it to the public. Whose business it is. That's the job of a politician. He works for the public. So this notion that it's only about carrying it to the police, no. If I hear something that I think could be injurious to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and I believe sufficiently that there is some credible reasons to believe that, if I mention to the public, I don't have to state that it is actually happening. I could say, you know, I've been made aware recently, some reports coming, et cetera, and the minister and those should look at this, or should come speak to it, et cetera, et cetera. That's quite legitimate. As a matter of fact, almost 100 questions to that effect was placed on the record by the law opposition regarding this matter, which we will talk about when we come back after the news break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after the news.
Take a stand, everybody, come take my hand, we'll go together through this upper weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We have a call on the line. You've been holding a while.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Everything good. I was listening to the whole thing with Dwight and the passport officer, President. Mm-hmm. And concerning... When Dwight asked him, the first question Dwight asked him, what about the fraud passport? First thing he tells Dwight, the Bahamas do not have fraud passport. You cannot fraud the Bahamas passport. Right? That's what he said, that the passports them are not fraud. Now, his thing is, he was dealing with this fraud thing. People saying the passport them fraud, but he was saying it's not the passport that is fraud, it's the people them and the documents what they was bringing in, they what is fraud. So at the end of the day, he gives some very positive information, what I think all of us really needed to know. And I listening to you saying some things what you were more concerned about. Now, my thing is, if you had listened to him, and you had one or two problems what you think wasn't lining up, people call in. But right now, what you doing, you're trying to make him look like whatever he was dealing with today wasn't lining up and it ain't something what was pleasing for the people.
Okay, you prepared to listen to me for a minute, please? 1 minute?
Yeah, I can listen to you.
Okay, good. So when you don't know what somebody has done, you should ask questions. So rather than call into Dwight's show, I texted Dwight a number of things. Okay, a number of things. Because Dwight is conducting a very good show. So he can again elicit the answers for me in that way. I don't need to call in, but I did text him. Okay? So you could have asked me, did you try to reach out to him? You could have asked me that. But none of that changes the fact that I have some new information that I am putting out on how it makes you look, me look, or anybody look is irrelevant to me. It is important for me as a talk show host to discuss what I understand or I'm confused or concerned about any matter, because this is a talk show. Okay? Oh. And so thank you very much for calling in. All right? I don't need to make anyone look bad. I'm not trying to make anyone look bad. I listened to Mr. Simonette. But I have questions about what Mr. Simonette spoke about. And Dwight could tell you some of those questions and queries I had were put to him, as I have done on numerous occasions. All right? So if you feel hurt by that, I can't do anything about that. So let me continue indicating some things. I had questions arising from the interview done by Mr. Simonette. This whole issue of passports, the opposition as an example, put over 100 questions to the government regarding them. Now that the House is prorogued and likely to be dissolved soon, those questions will not be answered. It was a standard practice in the Ingram administration to answer questions, certainly to make sure that as many questions as is possible would be answered before House is dissolved or the House's business was finished. That's part of being accountable. That's part of being transparent. Okay? But I want you to know as a public that those questions don't have to go unanswered, you know. They don't have to go. Just because the House is prorogued doesn't mean the questions have to go unanswered. Because if, let's say the government changes and the opposition wins, well, they can answer the questions. You know, government is continuous. The questions weren't put to PLP. The questions were put to the government by the opposition. Well, if a new administration comes to government, well, a new administration can answer the questions because the answers is for the public, accountable to the parliament. And if the government, meaning the new administration, if there's one, wants to, and if the same administration is elected and wants to answer and be accountable to the public, they can also answer the questions. So the questions don't have to die simply because the parliament is dissolved or prorogued in the first instance, right? So there's still opportunities to get the answers. Still. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon. Go ahead, caller. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I was listening and I honestly was not going to call in, but after that caller, I'm spoke just now.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing and I want to commend you because every question that I had, everything that arose that put doubt in my mind, you came on and you asked, so there was no reason for me to call. Mm-hmm. I thought that the director of the passport office was very intelligent. He spoke well. But he did not answer one question that Dwight asked him this morning. And I was taken aback by it. He did not answer those questions that were needed. So this caller, you were not the only person listening. You were not the only person. I tried to call in, but the radio lines are busy. That's the society that we're in. And so I want to commend you again, Mr. Lyon, for asking those questions and for making these points that I felt was not answered. And I've had issues with the passport office and my line of work. I deal with passports every day. And I have seen passports that come through my hand where those persons can't speak a word of English. How do you obtain a Bahamian passport and you can't speak the language of the Bahamian people?
He did speak to that, and there I can imagine some instances in which a person who is not a good speaker of English can be a eligible Bahamian for a passport. But I think what he misses is this fact. You can't explain how many people of speaking Creole holding passports can't speak English.
Okay.
Well, yes, he mentioned German. Yeah, but maybe you didn't want to do that. Sure, go ahead, sorry.
Yes, and he should have been able to say, and I know that he mentioned German just to elude from the constant critic of our French-speaking brother. This is not an attack against them. This is putting rights where right is supposed to be. And that is all we need to learn. This is about the right way or like justice. Justice is not always fair, but in the face of the public, it should always appear to be fair.
The thing about it is, it is a legitimate question as to why so many persons may appear to be holding Bahamian passports who can't speak English. I mean, that's a legitimate question. Right? But thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your calling. I think the bottom line is that the Bahamas belongs to the Bahamian people. Now, the Bahamian people have perceptions about what happens in the Bahamas. Perceptions are inaccurate. I really do. I mean, I do. I think they're inaccurate, but that's irrelevant. It's their perception. And a country can only feel the way its citizens feel as a whole. Not every citizen feels that way, but if most of your citizens feel like the country is going in the wrong direction, feel like the country is a terrible place to live in, feel like the country has got backwardness in its, that's the way they feel. Even if that isn't true, the leadership's responsibility is to attempt to restore their sense of belief in the otherness of the country, in the country feeling being the other way. And there are things that have to be done. When trust is diminished, it has to be built up. And how is it built up? It's built up by consistency of action and by constancy of shared information to allow people to believe that they are aware of and they are being respected in the delivery of information about what is being done on their behalf. You can't build trust any other way. You can row and fight with them and say, oh, you know, wrong, you're all stupid, you're all ignorant, you all don't know. You can do that. But if it doesn't build trust, it doesn't get people back to thinking, well, you know what, I the way I was thinking about these passports and this stuff is wrong. So if too many Bahamians, and listen to me when I tell you, right, not just uneducated, low-income Bahamians believe something's not right with our passport situation or immigration situation. You got very educated, very the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, FNMPLP, COI, have a duty to try to rectify that perception. And the only way to do that is you have to be upfront, you have to be straight with people, you have to be fulsome in the information sharing. You have got to put your cards on the table. If there's something amiss about the process, say, yeah, there's something amiss, but I'm going to tell you, we're fixing that. Let me tell you how we're fixing it. You see, we're retraining, we're redirecting, we're removing, whatever is required to try and bring about trust. Not just for your citizens, for the international community too, that has to regard the information. Because I can promise you, if your citizens continue to be publicly questioning your document, posting about your document, right now in my phone, all kind of stuff circulating, people sending me stuff, this one's circulating, but what's wrong with the power, but what this and the, all kind of stuff. You think that I'm going out to the world? And you could get mad with it, but that's what's happening. If you have a caller on the line, go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Hello. How you doing? Yes, sir. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. I'm calling. This is my first time calling. Y'all saying that they have a problem with over 300 odd people with fraudulent passport and what's not.
Hold on, sir. Y'all are saying, who said that?
This is what the people are saying. Okay.
Oh, okay. I see.
It was said in the House of Assembly that it's over 300 odd passports. Now, okay. I only want to find out one thing. Why would the government fraud 300 passports, and where would they put the 300? In one constituency? Because it don't make sense putting 10 there. That don't make no sense. Not to jeopardize your name and everything for passport. So, I mean, it to me, I ain't got the sense of it.
Okay, so because hold on. Right? So you made a comment about you don't have the sense of it because you tie it to the government doing it to get votes. That's what you tied it to. So let me ask you a question. Let's suppose someone could get $10,000 for a fraudulent passport. How much is 10,000 times 300? Hello? Igani. Sometimes the issue mightn't be, and I'm not saying it is, the issue mightn't be vote getting or anything else. People can do things for monetary purposes, right? And it doesn't have to be the government. It could be somebody working in the system doing something. How many people in 1993, when those three persons from the passport office were prosecuted, they were prosecuted for bribery. Bribery was tied to money, not votes, right? So you can do things for reasons other than vote. So just because you think it's only about vote getting, did the opposition say somebody did it for votes? You don't know that. You could do it for votes too, right? You say, what constituency did they put them in? How about one you lose by 20 votes, 30 votes, or 50 votes? You could do that. But I'm not saying that's what happened. But you don't know. Yes. The question is whether it is in fact happening. And it isn't that they said in the House of Assembly. The chief passport officer said that they have almost 100 passports that are deemed suspect. He said it. Why don't you go ask him now what he thinks was the reason for it? Not, you can't just go, because they said in those assembly, y'all said, when you first came on, you said y'all said. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Brother Lang.
Hey, what's
Hello.
Up?
Yeah, you know, hey. I sent a text, so if you see it, and you probably shouldn't read it, because I get the call in, right? Firstly,
no,
you know, hello? Hello, hello?
Yeah, man, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
You know, Mr. Lang, you know, for me personally, you know, you and I don't always get along, but, you know, I appreciate your sincerity when it comes to these type of matters, right? So to relate to the last call and the caller before that, I don't know if the first caller heard you when you said how difficult it is to actually to make a fraudulent passport, right? as it relates to emblems and the logos, et cetera, right? You had stressed that, right? And I like myself, had some questions to ask as it relates to certain matters with the immigration situation, right? But the question for me is, while I do appreciate your sincerity and your knowledge in this particular model, I'm agreeing with what you're saying now. What I'm saying is barrier, when he referred to German, et cetera, et cetera. But that should only be in very rare instances. It shouldn't be predominantly of a certain demographic that you're seeing.
So
something you said that I thought was very important for me, Integra, was that the Bahamian people have a right to know and question. And so given the fact that you're data-driven and given the fact that you had mentioned the significance of the biometrics as it relates to identifying people, right, then my question would be, I had asked him about the revocation. He explained that the passport could be canceled, null and void. We know that's easy to do. But what about if somebody has initially passed on citizenship through a fraudulent document obtained to use to obtain the passport that you had stressed? I don't think most people really understand what's going on. So I don't see what's the difficulty in understanding anything. My question would be, a certain demographic is predominantly getting these passports without being able to speak English. And so you made some juxtaposition that will clearly explain that, you know, something is amiss. And you said something on your previous show. Once humans are involved, but I hate when I hear the narrative that, you know, fraud and this exists everywhere and and this is happening. But I mean, you know, an effort must be made to safeguard and do what's needed. And so one of the things you talk about honesty and trust, everybody has internal biases, et cetera, but I mean, let's keep the visceral stuff out of it. You see what I'm saying? I just hang up and finish listening, man. Just keep talking, Mr. Lang. Yeah, respect.
I appreciate it. The thing about it is, you know, you say that once human beings are involved, the probability of fraud always exists, is because that's true. That's the reason why you actually have laws and law enforcement in your world. I mean, think about it. If everybody would do everything that's right, you would have no need for laws. You'd have no need for law enforcement. So the mere fact that human beings have demonstrated a tendency over time to practice these kinds of things is why we have systems that wage against them doing that. So it's no hit on people to say that once human beings are involved, the probability of fraud can exist. Maybe that probability is higher and lower in certain places than in others, but it exists. And that's why you have systems, right? That's why you have laws. That's why even in your passport law, it says it's in your laws, anticipating that the possibility exists that such a thing might happen, right? This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Did your Uncle Willie, the great dancer, go there? You think he's the greatest dancer ever? No, I didn't see him. No. Says, excellent, good to hear. Said the minute the passport chief used the word grandstanding from people bringing awareness, I tuned him up because the same term was used in Parliament to represent the opposition leader. Absolutely. And he may not realize that, but it absolutely is true that some of his phraseology reflected some of the political dialogue that existed. Some of it did. But by and large, he did a great job representing professionally his department. This text says, hi, Mr. Lang. I listened to Mr. Simonet on Dwight's show. What I understood him to say, in my words, things that would that happened with the fraudulent passport is nothing new, and it will continue. In other words, it's normal. That's what I got out of it. Okay. This says, the chief passport officer said, if you have any information, take it to the police. We do not trust the police. We trust the media more. They need a forensic audit at the passport office to get rid of the bad actors. This text says, the whole idea of FNM blaming PLP and the PLP blaming FNM is an old tired game that all intelligent Bahamians should be disgusted with. It is time for something new at any cost. Okay, at any cost? You sure? At any cost? Okay. In the passport office or wherever in the world, who is making up these fake documents? We need an independent investigation to go at them, not just people who are being caught with the fake documents. I agree with you 100%. Because if you're issuing a fraudulent affidavit, if you're issuing police record, or, I mean, birth certificate, or you're issuing false, I don't know if they're still using baptismal records and them kind of stuff, school records, all these kinds of stuff, all of that matters. This text says, Mr. Lang, first time issuance is stringent. So I don't know how foreigners getting them so easily. I agreed you 100%. We issuing biometric infused documents that is supposed to increase and improve the credibility of the documents. Are you getting them? Are you getting them? You tell me now. I don't know, but the rest of y'all. When you first apply for your passport, when you first apply for it, you don't really show up to talk to nobody? I need this question answered for me. I don't know. Dwight, I didn't catch the whole interview, but I need this question answered for me. When you first get your passport, when you first apply for your passport, maybe if you're a child, maybe not, right? But an adult, do you have to show up, or can I put in for a passport my own? Can someone put in for a passport for me as an adult? Or do I have to show up? At any point, am I speaking to anybody? Now, I have to tell you, if you show up to an interview with me, you get a passport, and you guys speak English, no English, that's gonna raise a red flag for me. Now, even in the Bahamas, as I understand it, I think when you are getting citizenship, you have to show knowledge of the symbols of the country and these kind of stuff, right? How are you going to tell me what the symbol of the country is if you can't speak English to tell me what the symbol of the country is? When I ask you, what is the national bird of the Bahamas? First of all, you have to understand the question. Then you have to articulate the answer to me. Oh, that would be the flamingo. I was in a place, and the man asked a fella coming to buy a car part, is your car from Japan? And he couldn't understand what he was saying. Hey, I mean, make it make sense to me. Make it make sense to me. It is suspicious. I have to believe it is suspicious. In most circumstances, not in every, that you have something as precious as the Bahamas citizenship, and then entitlement to passport, and some basic level of English. I'm sorry, man. Forgive me. I could be dead wrong on this, but I just don't see it. The service and the chief passport officer says, whether you speak English or not, that's not his business. He looks at documents. I agree with you. But you also, I think it should be your business to query who's giving me these documents and why I should believe you. Right? If I see something. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Buying power with a margin loan at rates as low as 7.5%. A margin loan offers convenient flexibility, freeing up capital without liquidating your investments. Whether you're looking to diversify, fund a business opportunity, or refinance higher cost debt, RF provides access to cash within 48 hours for any purpose. Tailored, effortless, powerful. Discover how a margin loan can work for you. Visit rfgroup.com or call 603-6000. RF Bank and Trust. Money at work.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
New roads on airports are connecting or is bringing electricity prices down, while young Bahamians are stepping up, gaining new skills for new opportunities. respect for workers, support for entrepreneurs. We're modernizing energy and infrastructure across our islands and preparing Bahamians to succeed in a new economy. Transformations this big take time. Let's choose progress. Paid for by the PLP.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We have two callers on the line. Go ahead, callers. We're listening to you.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Yeah, my concern isn't the fraudulent passport. It's basically the legitimate passport that you got illegitimately. And I haven't heard anybody who've been hauled before the courts for giving out legitimate passports or selling them.
I'm glad you raised this. It is absolutely illogical for anyone to say that a passport given through illegitimate documents is a legitimate passport. That's ridiculous. It meant that the passport office issued a fraudulent passport, meaning they issued an errant passport, meaning they issued a passport that's not valid. So it's nonsense to think, because
thanks for correcting me.
Yeah, the document itself may have been manufactured in the passport office as it ought to have been. But the fact that it was done so on fraudulent terms or errant terms mean it is illegitimate.
Yeah, It should be void and canceled. But you said no. Anyway.
No.
Okay,
no.
Fraud and legitimate.
No. You don't get to do that. You don't get to accuse me of something I did not do. You said the password was legitimate, but the documents were illegitimate. You said it.
Issued illegitimately. That's what I said, sir.
Do you have another question you want to answer?
I'm just saying you're familiar with assumptions, forecasts, and projections. I'm sure you're familiar with that. And it is my opinion, I'm making an assumption here, that since this government don't want to allow for the freedom of information and campaign finance reform, I think they basically don't want persons around or in the country who are going to be challenging that issue. So they may be more concerned about having persons in the country who just don't have no idea.
Let me go on to another. You listen, man, you need to stop calling the show. Talking nonsense, please. Come on, man. You're wasting time. Seriously? Go ahead, caller. We have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing, Chicago?
Hey, right here, Antoine. What's up?
Right here, man. As it relates to the chief passport officer, I was paying close attention myself. I didn't listen this morning, but certainly on other platforms where he was addressing matters in relation to the, persons who attained by fraudulent means, right? Which is totally different, as he pointed out, and as you alluded to, but in particular, as you pointed out, no one has been able to recreate the Bahamas passport based upon the latest improvements in technology and security that they have implemented, right? And one of the things that I thought to myself, I almost called him this morning, but I didn't. I didn't really tune in. But when I heard him on, I wanted to call him and congratulate Mr. Simonet, because I think he's been very proactive in examining the cases that are coming before them, examining where the loopholes are, and seeking to put in place the mitigation means and methods to ensure that they don't repeat themselves, right? Like, for instance, to give you a prime example, persons attaining the other documents that they require in order to submit to apply for the Bahamian passport. That is where he pointed out, and that is my understanding of where the flaws are coming in. And so in order for him to mitigate and ensure against that happening as frequently, he's now working very closely with the Registrar General's Department, with NIB, who issues the NIB cards or smart cards, and who issues the birth certificates, documents that they require and use to aid them in applying for one of our official passports, right? And so, to my mind, in listening to him, I'm edified the Bahamian people on what the challenges are. I was very pleased personally to see that not only is he putting the steps in place to stop gap procedures that are necessary to mitigate against persons attaining our legitimate documents by fraudulent means, but that the government, through his leadership as the chief passport officer, is actually finding the individuals as they make the application. And so I believe that
Antoine, let me ask you a question. How many passports did he indicate have been issued without the proper...
By fraudulent documents?
Yeah.
Around 100, he said, was...
Okay. So we're not talking about picking up fraud before the document was issued. We're talking about picking them up of something coming to light after the document was issued.
So
the question is, how did you come to find out after the document was issued that you have fraudulent documents behind
him in two different areas or platforms where he spoke, one at the OPM and one on a night show, a night television show? He explained that they have been conducting an audit on all passports issued in a specific period of time. And that is how they were able to capture the persons who had already received the documents
and
find out that they received them using illegitimate supporting documents.
Okay, so, but
through the audit.
He said, in a specific period of time, you don't know this, I'm asking, why that specific period of time? And according to him, only half of them were renewals, the other half were first-time applications.
Well, Trivago, you asked a question earlier, right? Which I thought was a critical question. And I heard him respond to that, but also my own understanding as well. I would say your question is, do persons have to submit themselves in person when making their first application for passport? And since the new security measures have come out relating to the biometrics, it is mandatory for you to submit yourself. You cannot attain that passport unless you submit yourself in person, subject yourself to the eyes and the fingerprinting and all that kind of stuff in order to acquire our official document. However, persons, as you would have explained, have been bypassing that because they have been able to successfully ascertain the supporting documents from other government agencies that is required in order to successfully make your application for the Bahamian passport. And he's been doing, in my view, based on my understanding of and reinvestigating based upon the audits that they have done, all of the documents, and he's been able to capture or find out those documents.
Antoine, I hear you. Thank you very much. I understand. I thank you. Appreciate you calling. Let me see if I could say this again. Do I have another call on the line, producer? First, let me make sure. Okay, go ahead, call.
Hey, how you doing?
Right in. What's up?
I'm listening to. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you. I can.
I'm listening to the process. Everything is happening, and everyone's discussion. And I'm wondering, like, this audit that's happening now, like, I'm wondering about who regularly, what's the process, regularly? How could this even happen? Like, I can't imagine of how you not checking all the relevant documents from some kind of database to recognize, to validate whether or not the image you have in front of you is an actual real thing. Like, why do we have to wait for this to happen for someone to realize that there are kinks in our system, there are possibilities? Like, was it willful ignorance or just corruption?
But, But brother, listen to me now. Since 2007, we have been issuing passports with biometrics, which means I have to show up there, give you my fingerprint, give you my face, give you all these kinds of things that represent biometrics on me. Now, so I am not fraudulent because I'm a person. You see me. Now, the question is, that document that says birth certificate to Zhivago Lang, is that document a birth certificate from the Registrar General's office? And does it represent in point and in fact accurately where I was born, to whom I was born? Because the only thing I want to know on there is, were you born in or outside the Bahamas? And if you were born in or outside the Bahamas, what were the circumstances of your parents? Which means in certain circumstances, then I need to bring my parents' birth certificate to confirm. And my parents' birth certificate put up, Zhivago Jean Lang, born to Cedric Lang in the Princess Margaret Hospital and so forth and so forth. Now, I need to know if they were born in the Bahamas and so forth and so forth, because then that now tells them I'm a Bahamian citizen based on those things, right? So, so the question of the bona fides of the certificate, the birth certificate, which is a birth certificate issued under the Registrar General's office with a stamp of the Registrar General's department on it and so forth and so forth. All these things have to line up. So for me to get a passport, what is the probability? What is the likelihood that I am going to end up with a manufactured passport signed by the passport officer if somebody inside there didn't do something untoward or make some global missions of that passport?
That's what I'm saying. The process that you have to go through, I'm wondering where the gap is. Like, I'm almost thinking that we should probably, just like how Elon Musk had this whole Doge thing, we should probably go through all, have develop a department that goes through all the government agencies and digitizes them and creates one main database that all government agencies can reference any physical document to see whether or not this is legitimate or not. Because, like, I can't understand how, what else to, because that's the only way, right? If you get a physical document and it's a possible fraud, you have to then reference it to a database that would validate everything that's on the document. Because while they might be able to have the physical paper that's fraud, they won't be able to get it in the database.
Yeah, my friend, I do. I understand it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Only possible if born in the Bahamas before independence. Born in Bahamas before independence. Yeah, yeah. Like these fraud. Like I don't get it. I mean, like you to in today's Bahamas, right? Well, we keep records of birth. There's something wrong with the message. And I think the message is wrong because the details are not clear. What is the nature of these passports that are being held in suspicion? We're being told some of them are because of renewal. What do you pick up on renewal? What is it on renewal? I mean, what do you pick up on the renewal? And why, at the renewal of a passport, were you prompted to go deeper? What caused you to go deeper on the renewal of a passport? I don't understand it. I really don't. But that's because we don't have the information. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Zhivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break. This road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road. For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly efficiency for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
It's back. Agri-Expo 2026, presented by the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, April 10th through 12th at the Gladstone Road Agriculture Center. Agriculture, latest farming technologies, exciting cooking demonstrations and competitions, Bahamian farmers and vendors from across the islands, fun for the kids at the Kitty Quarter, nightly musical concerts, and free admission for everyone. Bring the whole family and celebrate what feeds our nation. Agri-Expo 2026. Let's get growing.
Create the perfect Easter basket at Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store. We've got everything you need. Fun and exciting basket stuffers for kids and teens. And if you'd like, we'll even wrap it for you. While you're here, explore our beautiful spring fabrics perfect for Easter outfits and prom dresses. That's Carey's Fabric and Uniform Store on Mackey Street. Call 393-0758 or 817-0758.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Let me read some of your... It says, Mr. Lang, that caller couldn't even use an adjective. Instead, he used a noun. Please continue your show, my brother. We, the public listening to you, we know your reputation and respect your continual sincerity, especially on political reviews. To me, you are mostly logical and methodical in your critique. This text says, not speaking English should not be a problem and should be very rare. The problem is, why is this problem within a demographic? Yeah. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang, Mr. Simonette, and the Minister of Foreign Affairs are playing semantics about the fraud regarding the passports. What they don't realize is that it is actually worse to find out that the passports are not actually forged documents, but that they have been accepting fraud, forged documents, and producing a legitimate passport from such documents. This text says, Mr. Lang, I have become frightened. 300 passports at $10,000 equals 3 million. I was just using that as an example, right? With that figure, even Moses might be tempted to let people into the promised land. Laugh out loud, says that person. It says, lying of a Haitian person born to a Haitian parent, and after 18 years, he wants to become a Bahamian citizen but can't speak English. Shouldn't he become a Bahamian citizen? yeah, he's entitled or to become a Bahamian citizen if they make the application at the appropriate time in accordance with the law. But you know what is also true? If you could find me one person of Haitian descent, born to Haitian parents who are even in the Bahamas illegally, who have been living in the Bahamas for 18 years and can't speak English, man, I give you all the money I got. Ain't plenty, but you could have it. Man, you are the children of Haitian descent who live in the Bahamas, you cannot distinguish their diction from ours on any ordinary basis. In fact, you only can discover that they are of Haitian descent when they themselves speak Creole, and many of them cannot speak Creole. They cannot. They haven't even wanted to or tried. Many can't. This text says, I got my e-passport more than 18 years ago. I didn't show up until it was time to pick it up. I was over 50 at the time. Someone applied for me after I had taken my picture. I had the whole passport at the time. You have a e-passport with biometrics, and you did not go in somewhere to provide your fingerprint? That's what you're telling me? I hope the chief passport officer listening. You did not go in. You have biometrics in your passport that you did not provide. Somebody provided your biometrics to the passport office for you? You need to text us and let us know the answer to those. Lying biometrics should not be established in our system until a proper accounting of Bahamians and legal residents, so we can send out all illegal persons in the country, no matter where you come from. Good luck with that. This text is, Mr. Simonet says, at the pleasure of the PM, and the PM doesn't see a problem. They must be on one accord. His job is like an ambassadorship. Well, you don't have no issue. If the prime minister and the government is satisfied with him, there's not going to be any issue. So that's really not even a question. This text is, biometric is after the fact. The damage has already been done. The fraud should have been detected before the initial passport was given. The problem is the department. I mean, well, the problem is deeper than the department, because you have to, what do we use to prove citizenship in the Bahamas? What do we use? How do you prove citizenship in the Bahamas? By birth, right? By your birth certificate, by your birth, and to whom you were born. So they're to establish citizenship for someone born in the Bahamas prior to and after 1973, July 10th, right? You have some verifications to do as to who were your parents and what's the legal status of them in terms of citizenship, right? So the circumstances differ depending on where you were born and to whom you were born. So you have to get documentation related to that. Where are you going to get the documentation from? From the passport office? No, you're not going to get it from the passport office. You got to get documentation from the Registrar General's Department or some other places if it requires support from a school or a church or that kind of thing. So that can be committed. It's committed at the point where those documentation are brought up and delivered to you. Now, you may bring a document to the passport office which shows that you are not a Bahamian citizen. And for whatever reason, somebody may be motivated to still pass you through or patch you through. That is possible too. Say, I want to commend the chief passport officer for the information he presented. He answered questions with facts. He made it clear that a non-English speaking person could obtain a passport legally if it is being applied for through the father, and the child has never been to the Bahamas. If we could be objective and honest in our utterances, it would serve us well. He did not answer our questions, and he did not answer our questions objectively. He did do a reasonable job of answering many questions too. And just because you think somebody wasn't objective or objective doesn't mean that it was so. Okay? He did not answer every question. That is a fact. He did not. I listened to him. And he did, and some of the questions, the answers, still left some questions. And that can happen. This text says, from what I can gather, Mr. Lang, in my opinion, someone is allowing fraudulent documents or not doing their due diligence and checking documents for passports, which that everyone would want to find out the facts on. This says, you're trying to cause problems. I think that this matter, no matter what side of the political divide you fall on, is a matter that requires the kind of addressing that would more or less, more than less, improve the level of confidence that people have, not in the document itself, but in the process that is producing both citizenship and passports in the Bahamas. See, passports are only the entitlement of people who have citizenship. So the citizenship process, how about somebody tell me what could be going wrong there? How could you be a citizen of the Bahamas entitled to a passport? And you can, I'll ask you, you know what I would do if I was the passport officer? I'd ask you the same questions they'd ask you at the citizenship thing. You guys swear an oath to the Bahamas, right? You guys swear that in English. You got to answer questions about the flag and the English. If you can't do those for me when you come to the passport office, I will go back to the issuers of the citizenship and tell them, listen, you all stop doing nonsense because here's what I discovered. We should have that check. We could have that double check. You're listening. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. God spares life. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Have a fantastic afternoon. Send me